Well, I thought I'd open with a joke, which, for those of you who don't know me, is risky. But I have trialled it on my flatmate and his girlfriend, and they laughed, so the expectation is there. It's a lawyer joke with a kind of Easter theme, so it's appropriate. A man woke up in a hospital bed, and he called for his doctor, and he asked, "Give it to me straight, how long have I got?" The physician replied that he doubted his patient would survive the night. So the man said, "Call for my lawyer." When the lawyer arrived, the man asked for his physician to stand on one side of the bed and his lawyer to stand on the other. Then he laid back and he closed his eyes and he remained silent for several minutes. So the physician asked what he had in mind, what was he trying to do? And the man replied, "Well, Jesus died with a thief on either side, so I thought I would die the same way." It's good to know you've got the same humor as my flatmate. It's encouraging. So we're going to be reading from Romans, if you have your Bibles. If not, if you don't have a Bible with you, there's one in front of you at your feet. And we're going to read from Romans 5. Starting at verse 20. "The law was added so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace increased all the more. So that just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. If we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body of sin might be done away with." So there was a reason for my lawyer joke being put in there. My brother, who's a lawyer, or was a lawyer, and it was such a bad profession he came out. Sorry if anyone was a lawyer here. But he used to always look at my contracts for, you know, leasing a flat or whenever you're trying to get into things. I'd always kind of send him at first and say, "Have a look at it." And he has this kind of gift, and it's the gift of finding loopholes, or the gift of finding potential future loopholes. And I remember one time I signed a lease for a flat that could be interpreted, he put it this way, it could be interpreted that if you don't pay your rent or your flatmate doesn't pay your rent, you're responsible for the entire mortgage of this guy's flat. You know this, and I just had no idea that contracts could be so complex and so kind of read into and argued about. And yet that's what my brother was there for. That's why we need lawyers. And they kind of figure that out. They have a look and see what's going on. And in the same way, they're kind of their best defenders of the future. Paul, he's kind of trying to be a bit of a lawyer here when he writes this book of Romans, and what we read from. He was predicting that some clever lawyers might try and find like a loophole in the gospel. He was expecting someone to say, you know, if you say the more I sin, the more grace is required to forgive me, then surely I'm showing God's grace if I just keep on sinning and add up as much of my tally as possible. And it's a little like The Millionaire's Daughters. I don't know if you ever watch these programs. I can't watch them, I'll be honest, but I saw a clip of one, which is probably my cop-out way of saying I watch it, but I won't admit it. But I was watching one particularly, and it's, I don't know what it's called, but it's like Super 16 something. And basically a 16-year-old gets a ridiculous budget that could buy me a house to spend on their 16th birthday party. I don't know if you've seen these things. And, you know, the one clip that I saw, I promise it was just a clip, wasn't a thing. The one clip I saw, this girl was crying her eyes out because she got a Bentley. She's 16, she can't drive it. She got a Bentley, but because she got this Bentley before the actual party at the wrong time, she started crying and saying, "Mom, you ruin everything." I was thinking, I'll take the Bentley if you don't want it. It's fine with me. No problem. But she totally ungrateful, really, and crying about it. And it's this kind of idea, you know, it's the same kind of thing going on. I try and spend as much as I can on Daddy's credit card because it's Daddy's way of showing me that he loves me. Let's tally it up. Let's tally it out. And it might be that you're here tonight, you don't believe this at all, but you might have the same picture of God, just at the opposite statement. You know, the reverse picture is that God looks at us and he just sees the issues. He just sees the problems. And to reverse this little girl who spends all the money on daddy's credit card, the dad might turn around and say, "Oh, see my daughter. All she is to me is a drain in my wallet." And that's all they see about her. But Paul in this passage is writing about something much bigger. The view above is such a limited view to have when we look at baptism. We see the story has a lot more meat to this. See, Christianity is clear about the fact that we need a Savior. Absolutely clear. We need Jesus to save us from ourselves and from others. We call this sin because it's not what God made us for. It's quite apart from who God is, his very character. But we see how we testify in our own lives towards sin because of the pain that it brings, the misery it brings, and even ultimately death. And we had some testimonies towards that too. And in the last couple of weeks, if you've been here, we've been looking at the atonement, the idea of Jesus on the cross, and explaining this is why Jesus came all the way from heaven to earth, giving up his perfect life with the weight on him of sin. Easter is a special reminder of exactly that, a time to remember that he overcame it, that he's victorious over the tomb. And verse 21 here says, "Just as sin reigned in death, so also grace might reign through righteousness to bring eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord." You see, the bigger picture is that Jesus was shifting the authority that sin previously had over our lives, over death, to a completely new currency paid for in grace. And grace is getting what you don't deserve. It reigns through his righteousness that brought eternal life. And in this way, moving the focus from our failures to Christ's success, Paul is showing that the message of Easter is not just about forgiveness, as beautiful as that is, but it's also about transformation. Our lives move from focusing on our own faults to focusing on the security and the restoration and the beauty that we find in Christ. And this is why Paul is worried about this kind of lawyer loophole approach that we find. The more I sin, the more grace I can produce. The person that's still living that life is just totally focused on sin. But that isn't the way Christ followers live. They're called to live so that we can focus not on our sin, but instead completely focus on Christ. And it's only through Christ that we can have that real transformation taking place. To put it away, another way, if we're starving, concentrating on our starvation wouldn't really help us, only focusing on the bread. And that's what baptism's all about. It's about focusing on Christ who brings lives. We have three fantastic testimonies to the transformation in the life that came in Jesus Christ. Verse 4 in our Romans passage says, "We therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." And the act of baptism is the act of death, burial, and resurrection. And the death is represented by going into the water, but not for too long. Laying flat, representing being buried. And as they raise up, represents the resurrection that's taken place, living a new life through Christ Jesus. It's a life that's given by sacrifice and victory of Jesus Christ, and we share in his victory by his invitation. And the best bit about this invitation that you can possibly have ever is that it's invited to each one of us. To be transformed into a life that's valued by what Christ has done, not by what we haven't done, or even what we have done. To be transformed into a life that enjoys the fullness and the satisfaction of knowing intimately our Father in heaven, who created us to love and yearns to be in relationship with us, and it's a transformed life that lives for kingdom values of love, hope, and faith, where the fullness of life is enjoyed and the fullness of life is given. And so baptism is also the sign of hope. Verse 5 shares that if we've been united with him in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. And baptism, its symbol of resurrection, is also a reminder that our future is secure and exciting. Death, which actually came up in two of the testimonies, is the old sign of our old life. It was something to be feared. It was an abrupt end, an unfair dismissal, or even a tragic end. But now it becomes something exciting. It's where you go to meet your maker, as some put it, when you join God in all his glory, enjoying the fullness of his presence and restoration. And that's the wonder that we have to celebrate with three wonderful candidates. Let's just pray. Lord, I just thank you for just the wonder of baptism and the symbol that comes in joining and united with you. Lord, I thank you for the transformation that you've brought to each story of just hearing what you're doing, the redemption and the restoration that you're bringing. And Lord, I just pray that from this day forward, we would concentrate fully on you and our unity with you. Thank you, Lord, for your invitation, and thank you just that you have done everything so that we can have everything. By your name we pray. Amen.